You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's a little too much energy for me. WMDX. Okay. All right.
Is it too much for you?
Wow. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel like taking a bow on stage.
Okay.
I'm going to tackle that guy. Oh, man. All right. Well, we got some big stories coming up here.
Yes, we do. 92.7 WMDX. That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young. Dominic Lee is our producer. And starting out with sunshine this morning, the clouds have cleared out, and we'll see sunshine through the day. Highs in the low 80s, right now 59 degrees here.
All right, how about this? This is something that surprised the heck out of me, and this is something the Democrats should be saying, doing, occupying their time in Congress.
What is it?
The megas are coming out swinging against big tech AI. The revolution. They feel regulation should be coming in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, you might think this is something Democrats would have picked up on, but nope. No. Get this. Marjorie Taylor Greene fired off a tirade on X, complaining that AI could create mass poverty by replacing human jobs. And giant AI data centers could have potentially devastating effects on the environment and water supply. I know.
Wow, Marjorie Taylor Greene said this?
There wasn't something in your coffee this morning.
What?
This is really happening.
Wow.
Wow, I know. That's why I wore the psychedelic shirt today. We're all
tripping
now.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know where to go with that, hardly, except... The story continues. And thanks to Trump's big tech billionaire backers, they're about to own us and replace us. Get this, on stage at the National Conservatism Conference, Josh Hawley, Republican, criticized AI revolution as a leap towards transhumanism, a human-machine future.
Transhumanism.
That he said... Is currently, why they, you know, they always do this. Bush did this, W said this same kind of thing, you know. Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but it was always combining something with humans. Mark, tell me what that word was that George W. came up with. But anyway, human-machine future that he said is currently against the working man and the teachings of the Bible, as well as installing a rich and powerful elite in this country. That's coming from two Republicans.
Wow.
Yeah. And more on a medieval level. Let's get to that part of the right wing.
Okay.
Steve Bannon chimed in, comparing the pursuit of AI superintelligence to summoning the demon. And since then, think tankers and populist conservative outlets have continued to stoke worries about federal policies that turbocharge AI development. Of course, we've talked about this with Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, where, you know, maybe we should put some guardrails in
when
it comes to AI. And, of course, I don't know if the big bill did include AI being unregulated. I can't remember how that turned out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But in relation to what Marjorie Taylor Greene said, that AI could create mass poverty by replacing human jobs, this came out, and this was on LinkedIn. The job cuts, the share of 21 to 25-year-olds employed at large public tech firms has been halved since 2023. Mm. It dropped from 15% to 6.7%. Meanwhile, the average employee age in public tech has creeped up 5 years. So they're older people in tech now, from 34.3 years to 39.4 years, with millennials dominating the sector.
Okay.
College graduates stand out. Look, listen to this. For 20 to 24-year-olds with a bachelor's degree, the unemployment percentile has hovered around 60% for the past year or two, meaning their jobless rate is higher than in most months of the past quarter century. The jobs involving repetition processes are beginning to show up now. In other words, factory jobs.
Yeah.
Boring, laborious jobs. Factories or service work. And this is a tip from this particular article. Master the AI tools. You may see these as your biggest enemy, but flip the perspective and you will see that this is your only way to survive. So master AI.
Wow, the only way
is to really attack your enemy.
Really?
Yeah.
So we all should learn about AI.
Yep. That's it. Master it.
Take some courses.
Then in some way, shape, or form, you can fight the robots.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I know.
I feel like I'm living in a science fiction movie now.
I know.
Yeah.
This is Terminator all over again.
Yeah.
There are Nazi protests starting all over the country.
Wow.
And this is due to the death of Charlie Kirk. Here is a web wisdom that I pulled out in regards to this. It's cut 105, and it's a Nazi protest that sprung up, and this guy is talking about it. Let's listen.
Okay.
White man, fight back! White man, fight back! White man, fight back!
So a white man shoots another white man, and then a bunch of white men get together and chant how white men need to fight more. I don't know. I think the problem might be white men.
There you go. So it's a short little bit. And also, remember, we got a call yesterday from CJ, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And CJ, we had a little thing about empathy and sympathy. And I remember seeing something about Charlie not liking empathy, but liking sympathy more. I found the cut.
Oh.
And I just thought I'd play that. That's cut 106. So let's play cut 106 here. Charlie Kirk, listen.
The new communication strategy is not to do what Bill Clinton used to do, where he would say, I feel your pain. Instead, it is to say, you're actually not in pain. So let's just a little, very short clip. Bill Clinton in the 1990s, it was all about empathy and sympathy. I can't stand the word empathy, actually. I think empathy is a made-up New Age term that it does a lot of damage, but it is very effective when it comes to politics. Sympathy, I prefer more than empathy. That's a separate topic for a different time.
And there you go. Just proving my point. It wasn't a big issue. It was just something I remember, and I thought, well, did I remember that correctly? And I had to check on what I was saying here on the air. There certainly isn't any sympathy or empathy in this particular idea, and this would be cut 107. All right, let's listen to cut 107.
In fact, I even think that we should bring back, you know, public executions on certain people. No, but think about it. I think that, and you guys should laugh, it should be public, it should be quick, it should be televised. By the way, you could
force
the government
to watch it.
You could have, like, brought to you by Coca-Cola. And no, I'm not kidding.
So there you go. That was, again, lacking any sympathy or empathy. Okay. All right. And I'll tell you what, before we get to the next cut, let's go to Charles in Milwaukee. Charles, what do you got for us this morning?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. Great show, like always. So
thank you.
The whole thing with AI, my stepson, he works in IT. He builds websites for companies. And he was telling his mom a couple of weeks ago where it normally takes him maybe 2 to 3 weeks to create a website. He saw AI do it in less than 5 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, well, I'm glad my kids didn't take my advice about going into site design.
Yeah. His mom told him, you may want to start, you know, looking into something different. And then if I could just quote real quick on the empathy thing.
Sure.
You can empathize with someone. My dad had lung problems. And my dad went through this thing where he started having issues with breathing. He wanted everybody around him not to say anything, not to touch him. Years later, my dad passed. I developed lung problems. So before I had my lung transplant, I was at Rochester Mayo. They did a bronch on me and I had bad results from it. And during that time when I had issues breathing where I didn't think I was going to make it, I felt the thing my dad said when my breathing issues got that bad, where it felt like my complete air was cut off. Mm-hmm. I didn't want my clothes on. I didn't want anybody to touch me or anything. So you can empathize with somebody. You can empathize with somebody that has cancer and you've gone through that battle. So you can empathize with people.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting.
And you guys, stop taking Charlie Kirk out of tech. You guys didn't listen to the whole clip. You guys didn't get the whole clip right. Because that's what CJ and everybody else will say.
Yeah, that's exactly what they'll say. It. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, you guys took it out of context.
That's right. Yeah. All well, right. I think there was so much context there already. You know, you don't need any more context on it. That's for sure, Charlie. Hey, thanks,
Charles.
I appreciate your call. All right.
Thank you, Charles.
And let's go to Mark.
Yep.
Mark, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I actually had to look it up, because I enjoy actually finding the facts behind things. Empathy is not a newfangled, new age world. It was actually coined in 1908 by a German, empathy is actually based off a German word. I can't think of I can't pronounce the German word that it is, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, actually, philosophers, Adam Smith and David Hume talked about it. The fellow feeling, understanding your fellow human. I mean, the concept has been around for ages.
Yeah.
So you feel another's pain, you understand their pain because you're a human being as well. And what's remarkable to me is that Charlie Kirk had some level of empathy, as do so many of these others, that he was able to understand, what is getting these people angry. They're afraid because, the jobs aren't there anymore. They're afraid because they're not, they don't feel they're reaching the heights that they should reach with their, in their lives. They're afraid that, are they ever going to buy a house? Are they going to find a spouse? And that it is just, and he's able to channel that rage against the people underneath them, or at their same level, economic level, and rather than being angry at the people that are really responsible for it, is the guys at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
The millionaires and trillionaires and billionaires that are manipulating the whole situation to their benefit, where the rest of us are fighting over the crumbs.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. All
Good
right,
point.
Mike. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank
Mark.
You.
Thank you.
All right, and I got one cut here. I think I could...
Got about a minute and a half here.
I don't want to fit that in.
Okay.
But, just dicing the words here, we're always, we're trying to get to the bottom of the logic, the reasoning, and we're trying to understand what MAGAs are thinking, what their strategy is, why they think what they think. And it's still pretty much a mystery to both myself and Gordy. Dom.
We haven't gotten very far in that quest.
We're working on it.
We are working on it.
I think that's probably why we bring a lot of these audio cuts in. we're hearing them say it.
Right.
We're hoping to get the nuance of what they're saying in order to figure out where you're coming from, man.
That's it.
Okay.
And we will continue that quest in just a moment.
Yeah.
But coming up next, we'll talk to Brittany Merlot. Hey, you can win your dinner from WMDX and Sugar River Pizza. A $50 gift card is up for grabs each and every week right here on John and Gordy in the Morning, because John and Gordy Show and Sugar River Pizza have both been nominated for Best of Madison. We're going to find out the results in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, hey, if you want to win a $50 gift card from Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie, go to our website, WMDXradio.com, and register. We do this once a week, and then we toss out all the entries and start again on Monday.
All right, we've got Stephen Miller coming up in just a few moments, maybe even Elon.
Yes, stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Day. So whatever you've got to do, you've got a lovely day to do it in. That's true.
Okay, what is the point?
And I hope whatever you've got to do
okay.
is something that yeah. can be done by two.
Done by you.
For I'd really like yep. to stay.
Yep. Well, that's
here's,
great.
Here's the big finish.
It's a lovely oh. day today.
Repeats it. Okay.
And whatever you
okay.
got
it is pretty nice.
WMBX. It's a lovely day. 92.7. Check us out on the Civic Media app as well. And text us, voice note us, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call as well.
Mm-hmm. Number 608-879-8255. Sunshine today and highs in the low 80s. But let's find out from our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, what to expect weather-wise for not only today, but the next few days. Good morning, Brittany.
Hi. Good morning, guys. You crack me up. I love
what?
It. You're so funny.
Oh, man.
How have you been enjoying the warmth? Have you been outside and
oh, we have
it up?
Oh, we're enjoying yeah. the heck out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I
kidding?
Mowed the lawn yesterday. It was great. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
Love it. It's
how about you?
Second summer.
Yeah.
I have been enjoying it as well. I went and had a beach bonfire on Lake Superior.
What?
I attended a mountain bike race. I saw like thousands of bikers just biking through the American Berkey Trails.
Wow.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Working on the suntan, I guess. But last little soaking up the vitamin D.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's been gorgeous.
Was that some kind of a major event?
Discussion?
Yeah, it was. Okay. Yeah.
Yep, yep. It was up in Cable, Wisconsin. It was called the Shawamigan 40.
Mm, okay. Oh, we'll hear more about that, I'm sure. It.
That's too many miles for me.
Really?
But, hey, it was nice to watch.
Yeah. So how long is this nice weather going to last?
Yep.
We've got a couple of days. We've got today hitting 85 degrees, nice, warm, sunny. We put that on repeat for Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Thursday. And then we're still hitting 80 degrees on Friday. A few more clouds out there.
Wow.
And then we've got chances for showers and storms. So a wet weekend, unfortunately. And then that does drag our temperatures down a little bit. So for the weekend, probably mid to upper 70s.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds fine.
Yeah.
What a gorgeous weekend.
Yeah.
Should be good.
Yeah. I've got I have got to preserve the wood on my deck here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've got to put that special sealer on.
I
right?
do have to do that, and
so you need a couple of days.
I think I need a few more days.
Yeah, okay.
For it to dry out completely.
5-day span of dry.
Yes, yeah, something like that. We pressure sprayed it, so it really, it's gorgeous now. But we got to put that preservative on it.
All right, Brittany.
Well, I'm sure everybody cares.
Well, keep us posted.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Know how it goes.
I know you want to keep me.
Let us know how it all comes out.
Keep me from putting that job off, okay?
Right.
Hey, by the way, you see the T-shirt here? You see that?
Peace and love.
Yes.
Yeah, you went to see Ringo.
Ringo.
Star.
Yeah. I went to the Ringo concert.
In Milwaukee there.
That's awesome.
Friday.
Yeah.
Friday.
Gordy's got one, too.
Yes. Very good.
All
I'm
right.
not wearing it today, but I'll you know, maybe
I'm
I'll
glad.
Wear it.
We don't want to be twins.
We don't want to be,
we don't
the,
want
Bobsy
to be the Bobsy twins.
Yeah,
right.
We kind of hate it when that happens. So
that'd be cute.
Yeah. I
All right.
Well, thank you.
Brittany, thank you. You have a good day.
Guys,
we'll talk to you again
you
tomorrow.
Too.
Okay.
It's WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Okay.
Let's get to another episode involving Charlie Kirk. This was Bill Maher. He had Charlie Kirk on as a guest, and Charlie made a big mistake, and Bill Maher corrected him. All right, so let's listen to cut 108.
Here we go. We got it.
Sorry, I'm having some trouble here.
You all right? All right.
It's
please
all right.
please no. stand by as we
it's okay.
check out
it's
the
okay.
technical situation. Are we good? Okay, here we are.
So a white conservative was shot by another white conservative in a predominantly white Mormon state at a conservative, predominantly white college, and black universities are being threatened now? Got it.
Okay. Is that it?
Was it the wrong?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was the wrong one. Yeah.
All right.
Well, wait, I'm just making mistakes left and right here.
Well, let's.
Yeah.
You can regroup here. And
yeah,
while
let me find it while you guys.
Okay, we got some breaking news here.
Yeah, we got some breaking news here.
Robert Redford has died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
89 years old. Movie
wow.
star. Great movies like The Sting. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Oh, man. So many good movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he even had a big role in one of the Marvel Universe movies.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And so, yeah, he was involved in all these great, great movies and in some, you know, just character roles. Mm-hmm. He was a fascinating individual, you know, personally.
Oh, yeah.
That appearing in a superhero movie was something else. It was just crazy, you know. Mm. So anyway, do we have that transgenic?
Yes, we
thing?
Do.
Okay, let's play.
We got less than a minute here, or a minute and a half.
We got it.
A lot of it, though, is this woke stuff that would, like, take your breath away. I mean, research into transgender mice. I mean, it was just the U.S. taxpayer dollars that, refunding that.
See, I called that out on my show. That was... It wasn't transgender. See, that worries me about you, Charlie. You seem to have swallowed that one whole, like a snake does a mouse, without looking into it. It was transgenic mice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was not, but it's hugely different. Transgender, that's just going along with what the mob thinks. It wasn't. He got it wrong, and no one was around to tell him that he got it wrong. Mm-hmm. He just went with it. Transgender. It wasn't transgender. It was transgenic. They were studying mice for health reasons, serious cancer-solving reasons. Nothing to do with transgender. So...
I stand corrected on
that. Okay.
There he is. Okay. Stands corrected.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I mean, that was one of those moments. I had another one. We don't have time now because I played the wrong cut. But
that's okay.
Mar had to correct Ben Shapiro, and we might get to that soon.
Very good. Coming up next, after we check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report, we'll be talking with Gary Albrecht. He's a cancer survivor involved with Badger Challenge. We'll tell you all about that coming up on John and Gordy.
All right. Oh, yeah. WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning on State Street, just down from the capital city, Madison, Wisconsin. And a good morning to everybody out there, including you.
Okay. Beautiful sunshine today. Highs in the low 80s, right now 59 degrees. And we welcome into our studio Gary Albrecht. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Gary is a cancer survivor and involved with Badger Challenge, and you've done a number of runs. How many runs have you done, say, for this summer? Have you done
this summer? I'll be completing seven. I have three in right now, so I've got a few more to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you first become involved with Badger Challenge? And why?
Well, actually, I've been doing some running for the past 10 years. I got back to it 10 years ago. Mm. And so in the spring, I started looking for runs. And this one appealed to me because of the cancer benefit. And so I decided to register for that. And it just interested me. And I thought it was something that I could do a small piece for the cancer community.
Well, tell us about the cancer connection here.
Mm-hmm.
You've had cancer.
Yes.
In the past.
That's right. I had cancer back in 2008 and actually came through that quite well. Have had some other kinds of things along with that, but and that motivated me as well to kind of start getting back in shape. It took me kind of a while to get on that track, but that's been a real motivator for me to stay in shape.
And I understand your wife is also a cancer survivor.
Yes, three times.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a little bit of skin cancer. This was maybe 15 years ago. It was just a basal cell carcinoma, but I caught it very early.
Sure.
And had that taken care of. But do you mind talking about your personal bout with cancer?
I had prostate cancer back in, like I said, 2008. It was diagnosed fairly early.
Mm-hmm.
Diagnosis, it kind of took time over 6 months to a year. And And so then I had it treated and moved on from there. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the run that is coming up here in Madison, right?
Yep.
When is that happening?
It's my first time in this run, so I'm really learning a lot about it this year. It's on Sunday. There are some other events along with it, like a marathon and a biking event. I believe there's events for walkers as well, mm-hmm. and the 5K. And it's out in the area of Sun Prairie, where the UW Clinic is out there.
Yes, mm. East Park Boulevard.
Yeah.
4621 mm-hmm. East Park Boulevard. Right. So that's where the medical center is for UW.
I'm not quite sure how many runners or people are participating, mm-hmm. But you can go online and donate to individuals. None of that money goes to us, but it goes directly to UW-Madison.
Yeah, I'm checking out the website right now. It's badgerchallenge.org.
Correct.
And it's got the weekend schedule. It's got a lot of really good information here about yeah. how to register, how to donate. There's some, mm-hmm. There's an event schedule here, a number of community events coming up. So why did you decide, or how did you decide to be this kind of a constant runner?
A runner. You could have picked like fast walking if you wanted to, but instead you picked running. What's the deal?
I was a cross-country runner in high school.
Yeah.
And then after high school, I ran some, not very much. Mm-hmm. Then, like I said, back in 1989, I trained for a marathon. It took me a year to train for that.
Yeah.
And that was in Duluth.
Yeah.
It was an interesting run because when we started out, it was 45 degrees. And when the run ended, it was like in the 70s, you know, in June. So it was a great run. But then I did some 5 and 10 Ks at that time. And then after an illness in 1990, I didn't run again until 2016.
It was tough to get back in.
Oh, it was, you know, you take those steps and it's like, what happened? Because in your mind, it's kind of like you can still do this.
Yeah, I know.
And I still get trapped in that when I get out,
really?
Like with pace and stuff. It's like, I feel like I can go faster, but not quite there.
Do you run every day? I mean, just as a casual?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't run every day because I just think that wouldn't be good for joints and stuff like that. So I run usually about two or three times a week.
So this Sunday, there's a half marathon, according to this, and a 5K run, and then something called a global runner.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that...
I think there's
that takes a long time. You got to go around.
Got to go the whole globe, and we'll see you in a few months.
Yeah, and I think it is a long... I didn't read about that one, but I think it's a series run that takes place over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, do you have a group of runners that you... I mean, are you part of any kind of organized team or anything that you run around your neighborhood? Or
No. Once in a while?
Yeah. I've done this just on my own.
Yeah,
We live out near the zoo, so there's some great area out there, you know, to...
A lot of hills.
Yeah.
Get the cardio going.
Yeah, that's good for you too.
And I
got
to ask.
You got something?
Yeah. I got to ask, Gary, what was your most favorite run you've ever done? I know you said you've done a lot. What is your favorite personally?
Well, I'd have to say my son helped get me hooked on this back in 2016 by doing the Disney run because he's kind of a Disney freak.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've done that one every year. And we're going down there again on the 20-something of October to do the 5K that goes through Epcot. And it's really a rush because the first mile is a service road, and then you come in the side of Epcot and the torches are on and they're playing Star Wars music.
You
can't stop then. It's just great. It's just a great event.
Wow.
So those are my favorites. Yeah.
That's great stuff. See, also they've had a number of biking events here on the website.
Right.
Again, badgerchallenge.org.
Well, we don't like bicyclists here, so.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that. I'm sorry.
I have to remind John that Madison is a bike-friendly
city. Oh, yeah, it sure is.
That's right. We have bike paths all over the place.
I'm going against the grain again, and I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel, Dottie.
So once again, talking with Gary Albrecht here. So the run, so people can still be involved.
Yes.
I mean, we want to let people know you can either donate or you can run, be a part of this run.
Yeah.
And again, it's Sunday, East Park, out in Sun Prairie. And we encourage people to become involved or donate.
Cool.
Anything else you want to mention about the run here?
No, not really. Just that it's one of those things that's, you know, the way I feel, it's bigger than me. It's a lot, this whole event. And it's something I think many people can do and help a little bit in some way.
Mm-hmm. So, great.
Great thing.
Well, Gary, thanks for joining us this morning. And good luck with the run, and let us know how that goes.
I was going to run down here, but I thought that was really? Taking a chance. I was taking a chance.
Well, okay. Spend a half hour catching your breath.
Very good. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate
you know,
being
I've always kind of I always hesitate a little bit because, you know, as an older guy, you know, you don't want to look like an old guy trying to run, you know. So there's a certain grace in running, and if you don't have it, then don't run.
Is that your excuse?
Well,
really?
it's a visual thing.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not important. I do the fast walking, so that's where I'm at.
All right. Gary, thanks again.
Gary, thank you for
stopping by.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
very good. Again, if you want to find out more, just go to badgerchallenge.org. We'll put some more information on our Facebook page. And thanks again to Gary for joining us.
I want to bring up something else, sports related a little bit. You know, we went to the Brewer game.
Yeah.
Watching the Cubs, I was out in the stands, and I almost caught a foul ball.
Right.
I had a beer in my hand, so I didn't use both hands. And I reached up with one hand, and the ball hit my hand, rolled down my arm into the seat. And the guy behind me picked it up out of the seat and got the ball. And I don't care about baseball, so he can have the ball. It's not a big deal. I'm not a Karen here.
Yeah. So you didn't end up on the cam fighting for the ball.
That's
right?
Exactly. I don't even know if it was on the cam. I don't know if anybody was watching.
Yeah.
You know, you were concerned about your peanuts or something. I don't know what it was.
Excuse me?
No, not peanuts. You can't do peanuts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nut allergy. Okay.
That's right. You were worried about that.
Are you going to talk about the letter?
I am.
Okay. We've got.
Do we?
The Bob Uecker letter.
Oh yes, I want to get the letter in, but I I also want to talk about Anthony Rizzo.
Oh yes, okay.
We talked, you know, to Pat Kreitlow about this, but on this show we have not mentioned it. I am in the same league as Anthony Rizzo, former Cub.
Yes,
and
first baseman.
He was
part of the World Series team.
He was out in the stands
in the left field. They were doing the
fly ball out there,
a home run. Yes,
he put his hand up.
Right. And then
the ball hit his hand, rolled down his arm, just like me.
Yeah.
And somebody else ended up with the ball. So
he was out there with Cindy Crawford and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. So it's even worse for him.
I know. How embarrassing
in front of those celebrities.
I know.
Anyway, I am right in the same league with Anthony Rizzo, just to let you know. Okay.
Okay, good to know.
Same year.
Now,
same problem.
Dom, do you have that clip? Okay, so the other day, what, the Brewers clinched going into the playoffs.
Yes.
And the manager, Pat Murphy.
And this was a big moment. So,
this was a moment. Yeah. They were in the locker room, and let's take it there.
And this is something saved up for this particular
moment. For this particular moment. Okay. And Pat Murphy is going to read a letter from Bob Uecker.
I got a letter today from Uke. And before we toast, I want to read it. Thanks, Mark. Thought it was fitting. The last time that we celebrated, Uke was with us. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. But you got all the sticky you need to have up here. Told the big guy about you guys. You play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in a group with this uncommon goodness. The fact that you have the best record in baseball, the best road record in baseball, has caught his attention. You don't really need me. I know you guys really don't need me, but I've got to tell you, I'll be on the headset every night watching. And don't forget to take it all in, enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other.
Yeah.
Bob Uecker. So let's toast to him and to our team what we've achieved so far.
Yeah. That's such a great letter.
Now, actually, Bob Uecker didn't write that letter.
We didn't.
No. That was actually penned by Pat Murphy. the manager who just read that.
Boy, it sure sounded in the like voice, him, though,
well,
it?
He was good friends with Euchre. I mean, they hung out for a long time together. And, you know, we were talking to our author, Pat McBride, about Pat Murphy just kind of stepping up since the death of Bob Euchre, because he had the same kind of humor, same kind of sensibility, and kind of funny, you know, so...
Well,
so he came up with that.
That'd be kind of cool if he kept on that kind of tradition.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Wow, that's creative as heck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's excellent.
Hey, it is.
By the way, Linda.
Yeah.
Linda texted and said the ball hit her in the head. I apologize for that, Linda.
Okay.
And wow. And that particular letter made her cry as well.
Okay.
So.
We're coming right back with wrapping things up here and look ahead to tomorrow and tell you more. Coming up in a moment, John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let's get happy. Okay.
Force us.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go with it.
Here we go.
All right.
Everybody. Come on, John. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Happy.
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 Happy, happy.
Happy.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I think that a great cartoon from, I think it was Chris Fellucci created that, and it was extremely edgy.
Well, we're debuting a new segment today here on the John and Gordy Show, things to be happy about, right?
No.
Yes. There are things to be happy about.
See, here's the thing.
What's the problem?
You know, there's like good news stories. Yeah,
yes.
I get that. But isn't it more fun listening to Stephen Miller go on a rant?
No. No, I don't think
no, come on.
Come on. We've heard him do that. We don't need to do that anymore, do we? Come on. Really?
All right. Well, I'll just wait till tomorrow. During Idiocracy, we'll play it.
Okay.
Well, here's the high point of tomorrow morning show.
Okay, right. Wait.
So, okay, here's what are some good news stories, Gordon?
Well, here we go. Kentucky nurse, let's get some music going.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is there
let's
music?
Kentucky nurse revives drunk raccoon found in dumpster by using CPR. See, that's happy because the raccoon could have died in that dumpster.
Can't be good.
He was drunk. How did the raccoon get drunk? What? Probably drinking some, you know, from half-drunk bottles of beer in the in the dumpster.
That's not the part I'm
but
concerned
a Kentucky
about.
The nurse
CPR is what I'm concerned about.
I don't know about how do you do CPR
yes,
on a
how
raccoon
do you do that?
Very carefully. Yeah, that's how.
All right.
Yeah, her name is Misty Combs.
Well, that's good. That's nice.
Of the Letcher County Health Department in Whitesburg, Kentucky. So that's happy.
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Okay.
Wonder what else is happy?
Yeah, well, let's hear it.
Today, I am going line dancing.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not
again,
kidding you.
You're going, didn't you sprain your ankle last time?
I did hurt myself last time. I did one song and I hurt myself on that one song. So, but I want to go again. It is out of my own. It's
you
not,
like the country music, huh?
I do. Yeah. It's all right.
Really?
It's all right. Yeah. I prefer rock, but. You know,
I think that's why they wear the cowboy boots to prevent your ankles from being sprained.
Yeah, I was wearing my Nikes, so I don't know if that was the best move.
Does it work?
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Okay.
Too
Do you
much,
have any
too much
happy
thinking.
News you want to share, John?
No, I don't really have happy news. I live in a world of
despair
demons
and
despair.
Depression. Yeah,
yes,
that's true. A 66-year-old man fulfills lifelong dream and becomes the oldest member of the LSU marching band.
Wow. So
66 years old. Went back to LSU,
ancient.
Became a member of the marching band.
They were short
See,
people.
That's
they
happy.
They needed more people to help.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Anything bubbly or chirpy?
Well, I'll tell you. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe will be here. That's happy. Right.
You've ran out of good news already.
No, there's more.
No, there isn't.
That is good news.
Yeah, there is good news.
Because I got...
Here.
I have Stephen Miller.
Hey, photographer.
It's fun listening to Stephen Miller.
You think that's happy? It's never fun listening to Steve Miller.
All right.
Come on. Stephen Miller. Lost painting looted by the Nazis found hanging on a wall in a real estate listing. See, that's happy.
That is happy stuff, isn't it?
Okay. We want to end on a happy note.
Okay,
you know,
I got
want
a story.
To be positive.
Okay? I got a happy note story here. Okay?
Let's hear the happy note story.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. New Mexico becomes the first state to offer no-cost child care to every family.
Wow.
So I think that's positive news.
That's great.
Yeah.
There we go.
States should do more of that.
You think?
Yes.
We're trying to do that here. And it says here that the families in New Mexico could save up to $12,000 a year per family. Now, that's not a bad savings,
that's
is
a
it?
Good, that's a good
that's
thing.
Kind of, that kind of works
that's
for all of
thing.
Us.
You know, that, yeah, that makes sense.
A daredevil kite surfer breaks the Guinness World Record flying 1,500 feet in the air above an iconic landmark.
Wow, that's really good
that's
news.
That's happy stuff.
Hey, I got a story here.
Okay.
Smoky Bones barbecue chain.
Oh, yeah.
They're closing locations.
Oh, that's not.
And they're and they're converting those old Smoky Bones barbecue locations into Twin Peaks restaurants. Isn't that great news?
Twin Peaks restaurants?
Yes.
Twin Peaks.
I have a story here. I was studying for my census exam.
Yeah.
In Illinois, and they have the chain of Twin Peaks down there, and I thought, well, you know, I needed to eat lunch. So I went to Twin Peaks. I love the TV show Twin Peaks. I thought it was
fantastic.
Are
you familiar with that show, Don?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, it has that warm feel of being in the mountains, right?
Yeah.
Well, little did I know what the real Twin Peaks were.
Yeah. But you found out.
I found out, and yeah. I was embarrassed as hell. You know, I didn't want to go to Hooters, you know. So I'm sitting at Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And I'm then, with all these other guys, oh. And I'm feeling like this is wrong. This is so wrong. And I ended up apologizing to the waitress,
really?
To the bartender.
Well, they... What?
I didn't want to
realize...
be in this group at all.
Oh, wow.
Again, I thought it was the TV show.
Of course you did.
And no, I did.
Yeah, really?
I had no clue.
Okay.
I mean, Twin Peaks, it's a chain restaurant, rustic look, outdoor theme, just like sure. in Twin Peaks, right?
Okay.
But no.
All right.
No, they were talking about something different.
Yep.
And it's just not me, you know. It's just not me.
So did you order your food still?
I ate
you'd
everything.
Already ate?
Well, yeah.
You were already.
Yeah. I didn't realize until
didn't
after
know.
I was done with the menu. I was looking at the menu, and then I started to see everything
all the waitress
there.
Was walking around.
I'm thinking, geez, the busty women. I'm thinking, I am in the wrong place.
Were you there alone?
Yeah, I was.
Oh,
I was there.
Makes it
doing
even worse.
The census test.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe, Substack author and blogger, will join us. Also, Wolf Repass. He's a Fold's chief financial officer. We're going to talk finances or something, right? Tomorrow. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Stephanie Miller's next. We hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
So long.
See you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.